pleasure of combining our show.
Facts. Well, I used combining our show.
Facts, man. Last week we had a 2-hour special.
Yeah, we had a 2-hour special with Combined Cultural Radio with their host, Tevin.
Yeah, we were supposed to have Oba on there too, man. Yeah, but he was playing games, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, man, I don't know who y'all talking about, but I don't know that.
Oba's a busy man.
Nah, that's a fact,
bro. But today we got one of the family. He's been here before, and he's here again. My boy, Deshaun, a.k.a. Sean Lamont.
Yes, sir. What's good?
Hey, man.
Wait, hold on, bro. From how you said that, bro, do you do podcasts?
I don't do podcasts.
Dude, man.
He got a good radio voice, huh?
Yeah, man. No, I just felt like you was all, like, it felt like you, how you just approached yourself, it felt like it was, like, natural.
Let me tell you a little bit about him, man. Let me tell you about his resume. This is one of the dopest lyricists I know.
My goodness.
He be out there spitting. Oh, man.
Yeah, I do a little bit of music.
He teaches.
Oh, see, that's why you sound so good on the mic.
See, he knows. He got his ways.
Yeah.
What's up, Oba? How you doing today, man?
Brother, I'm blessed, man. How are you guys, yo?
Oh, we doing well, man. Doing well.
Man, y'all
this has been a long time coming, so I'm glad we could finally connect.
I've been mentioning the both of y'all to each other, but Sean never met, man.
Real talk, man.
We might as well have Oba just join in the combo.
Hey, Oba's a part of the show,
come on
too,
in here, man.
Make it a coalition, right? Make it a gang or something like that.
Yeah, good fellas, right here.
Good fellas, what's up?
Facts.
So, man, you know, so last week we talked about a couple of different things. We talked about, you know, the whole Kanye thing and the Drake and Pusha T beef. Yeah,
we got into the Drake and Pusha T beef last week, huh?
Yeah, we talked a lot of music. We played some Childish Gambino.
We did.
Hey. You know, so we talked about a lot of different things. But, you know, now that the album, Kanye released his album, did you get a chance to listen to it?
I skimmed it. I haven't like given it a deep dive, but I skimmed it.
Okay.
So I listened to a few songs and kind of got some ideas and read a few articles. But
okay. Yeah. What about y'all? What's up? Did y'all?
Bruh, I mean, people was gassing it like it was like super good, but Pusha T's album was just too good for me, bro. Mm-hmm. Like people, I think I had read on an article that that Kanye had literally like scrapped his whole album and did that album in like a week.
Yeah,
and you could kind of tell, and it's just like, see, bro, like a track, album like Pusha T's 7 songs is perfect, but for Kanye, like it wasn't no kind of lyricism in there. It was just kind of like scattered and all over the place, bro.
Yeah.
So, I mean, from what I'm assuming is like, yeah, he's doing production for like 5 albums right now.
Yeah,
they're coming out.
Yeah,
Kissy Ghost with him and Kid Cudi. Like, I'm hoping that that's better than it was. But
I
people bet. Are gassing it, like, bro, like talking about this,
man,
is like
just excited to have new Kanye music. I think a lot of it is that, just being excited to have new Kanye music.
But like, bro, like seven, like top 7 on the billboards right now, though.
Oh, I see. I didn't know.
I thought he was coming up.
I was doing numbers like that.
Yeah,
it's doing numbers. And I'm like, bruh, how? Like, it's not. Oh, but did you take a listen to it?
Yo, I definitely did. And we have to remember that for Kanye, this is a flop. You know what I'm saying? Like, first week sales were something like 170K or something like that. And that's not, like, he's up in the 350s. You know what I mean?
Regularly. Yeah, yeah.
So when it comes to his music, this album is considered like, meh. It definitely is not, you know, comparable to any of the others. And like you said, it does feel rushed. I listened to it probably a dozen times, and I'm trying to pull what I can out of it. And the only thing I can really understand about the album is, like, I really like the bipolarism of the album, because he starts out really, like, crazy. But at the end, he goes, oh, man, I hope my daughter doesn't grow up to look like women that I love right now, which is weird but true at the same time.
Wait, that's what you got from women that he loves?
I hope she doesn't get too developed. You know what I'm saying? The last track
that
he talks about.
Yeah, he was basically talking about how, you know, like dudes in today's society and the games that, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was just saying basically, I hope that, You know how Kim is and all of the Kardashians, how they're like sex symbols. And I think for him, it was like, man, I hope that, you know what I'm saying, you don't go through all of these things that, you know what I'm saying, as a woman, as the daughter of two famous people and artists, you know, like, I hope that
That was singular artist.
I'm not
going to give her that.
You're right.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, in fashion or whatever, I guess some people would think that. But, you know, I think with him, it was more like, I hope that when you get older, that number one, you're not dealing with the same thing that women have to go through today, but also, and that's just my opinion of it. The second thing was, I hope that men, because he's basically explaining the game to her and how men approach a lot of women today.
I'll give you that. Like, it definitely made me think, you know what I'm saying? As a male, it made me think. But I think that, and it kind of did give off that, like, that Charlie Wilson, that kind of old school, like, kind of Kanye vibes. But it was just like, I love the fact that it's seven songs, but I feel like seven songs worked so much for Pusha T, songs just doesn't work for Kanye.
Like, it was just enough for,
like,
Pusha T.
Pusha T's was like, bruh, seven songs, like, yo, this is perfect.
Right.
Like, Kanye, it's like, it could be seven songs if you had more lyrics, like, put in there.
Yeah.
Like, there was a couple of, like, you can't have, like, filler tracks. Right. You know what I mean? You can't have, like, some of those tracks considerably on an album, those would be filler tracks that you put in the middle of, like big songs, like, hits. Yeah.
But there wasn't none in this.
You gotta
be really concise with a seven song project. You gotta be extremely concise.
To the point, right. Yeah.
Oh, bruh. Pusha T's was cutthroat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like every bar was like, boom.
And also, it felt like Kanye had bars that he put a whole song around. So he had like that intro song, you know what I'm saying? I love me more than I love you. And I thought about killing myself. Like, he had that whole concept, and then he tried to build a song around that one bar or something like that.
Which is limiting in a way.
It is very, but also, stop giving this man credit for being a lyricist, man.
Right.
We really liked Kanye for his production first, man.
That's hard to say though, because when you think about, like, College Dropout, Late Registration, Graduation, when you think about those projects, You don't necessarily conclude, like, Kanye is the dopest lyricist in the world, but he can put together a song well. And so I think some of us at least expect that from him. Like, the beats is going to be dope. It's going to be a gang of soul in the music.
Right.
And then on top of that, he's going to at least, you know, he can hold his own on two verses, three verses. And then he might sing a little bit, you know, do the whole sing rap thing. Like,
bro,
it worked well.
I still think Dark Twisted Fantasy is the best Kanye stuff.
Think so? Okay.
Off tops. Mm-hmm. Off tops. Maybe because he had a ton of features, but that was just legendary, bro.
Okay.
I mean, he had Jay-Z, Nicki Minaj, Rihanna, Beyonce, Kid. He had all those people on one album, bro.
Yep.
That's always, and that's the hands down, the best. Like, and the thing is, he tried to do, that was where it originated from, what he's doing now, like with his Good Friday stuff. But if y'all got to think about it, like, bro, that's where Good Fridays originated, where they were dropping, like, drop-off tracks off Dark Twisted Fantasy every Friday leading up to the album, bro.
Leading up to Cruel Summer.
It was leading up to Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Oh, okay.
So they were dropping stuff in the fall.
Oh, wow.
That's when Good Friday, because Dark Twisted Fantasy came out Thanksgiving, around Thanksgiving time.
Okay.
Man, so we talked about Kanye and you know how his album came out recently. I'm gonna ask y'all this, and Oba, you mentioned his sales numbers dropping for a Kanye, right? For somebody who's iconic like that, do you think his political views have anything to do with that?
Oh, definitely.
They may have even gassed his. He may have done 70K, and because people were like, "Yo, what?" He said, "What? This album better be fire." That there were so many more people invested in listening to him. You know what I'm saying? So many people were like, "Yo, let me see what this man's talking about."
But the thing is, he scrapped everything that he had planned.
That whole album, that's crazy.
Everything that he had planned to address, he said was too political, and scrapped it and made all those songs
and made Charlamagne look crazy, because Charlamagne said, and after that interview, he kept saying, "Wait till the music." Kanye will explain the music, and then he scraps that whole album and comes out with this, like, rushed piece of work. I don't know, man. I'm just looking for that Cudi album. Cudi and him better be flames, man.
If the album is any telling sign of his mental state, like, it says a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, seriously, like,
you're right.
What you hear on that album is you hear someone who's wrestling through mental illness. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm no doctor. I can't diagnose nobody, but
seven pills
the
a
music
night.
Sounds like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, how it like, sonically, it sounds like that. How it progresses through the project, it sounds like that. Like, it sounds really disjointed is a word I would use. You don't feel like it's one cohesive project or like one cohesive offering.
It's just everywhere.
Like, yes, yeah, everywhere. It's all over the place.
And that's just how he is, though, bro. You got to really think about it. Like, he's really going through, like, bipolar issues, and like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's literally like with somebody going through that, it's hard for me at times, bro, because I'm torn sometimes between, like, there's people who are, we're all black, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure we have friends, families, acquaintances who are like, I'm never listening to Kanye again.
Can't do it.
Yep. Why are you not? Effect. Why are you listening to Kanye? Yep. And it feels like you feel bad because you're listening. And you're like, why? It's kind of like it's the same thing that goes with the NFL, bro. It's like I feel like us as black men are always gonna be torn in between because you're gonna have those people that are like, nah, don't watch the NFL.
Yeah.
Don't support Kanye. And then there's people who are like, bro, it's like it's for the art.
Yeah.
With Kanye, and it's like it's music. And then you got people who are like, bro, I love football. It's like, it's always like, you know what I'm saying, in mm-hmm. the middle. So each of y'all, but on both of those standpoints, like, do you, like, talk about your experiences where people are like, man, I'm no longer messing with Kanye. He's disowned, yada, mm-hmm. yada, like, all
well,
that.
Well, here's the reason why I asked this question. Because I have a lot of friends who made it very clear that they no longer mess with anything Kanye, right? And for me, you know, I'm gonna hit y'all with that perspective from a different country now.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen oppression in a way where you cannot voice your opinion, right? But here, even though we're fighting for so many freedoms today, one of those is freedom of speech.
To speak, right? Man. Why exactly. would you cancel somebody because they have a differing opinion
exactly.
than you? Well said or wrong.
I think our problem in the United States today is the fact that we cannot look another person in the eye and respect their opinion, whether we agree with it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Our problem today is that we try to convince everybody to follow mm-hmm. our opinions, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And for me, when I heard Kanye speak, at first I was like, oh, what? Like, did he just say that? But at the same time, I'm sure he has this understanding of life that I still don't, right? Whether it's age-wise, he's wiser than me. He's older. Whether it's experience-wise, he's been around the world multiple times. And so there's a lot of things that he's exposed to on a daily basis that I have not been exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I don't have to agree with Kanye. I don't have to see eye to eye with Trump, right? And I don't support him. But the idea is that I can respect him as a man for believing, right? For believing in something and listening to that, right? The best thing you could do is listen to somebody. If you want to validate somebody's struggles or fears or whatever, listen to what they have to say. Now, when we talk about his music, people are boycotting his album, but listening to Pusha T's album, which was produced by him. So technically, you're still listening to him, right? But then that's a whole other topic.
Too.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And yeah. So for me, I think that people need to have
In the production on that Pusha T is light years ahead
he
of
sets,
all of us.
Exactly.
Fuego. I've heard a snippet of Tiana Taylor's today, and that is
Fuego. Is it out?
No, it's not.
It's
but
I think it drops
one of the podcasts that I listened to, they had a snippet of it, and it. I mean, her voice and the production sounds excellent, man.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that album too.
I mean, bro, I don't even know what to expect Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
I have no idea what to expect, bro. You got to remember, bro, like. It's when he really says like, "Yay, like Yeezy season, bro." Like mm-hmm. he's really right because it's like we're getting. He killed it. The production on Pusha T, yeah, he did his album right, and now we're getting another one with him and Cudi.
And then Nas is on the 15th, which he right. So he's this man is moving. He's moving. He's like dropping so many.
And
he's
affecting the culture just like Trump did.
Right?
I love how he challenges people's perspectives. Because even if you disagree with his idea, it made you think about your own.
Well said, man. And the only way you can think about your own is if you have an opposing opinion to compare it to.
To challenge
your opinion. I think that about religion and especially about things like music.
Mm-hmm. So what did you think about that line where he says, I said slavery is a choice. They said how, yay. They said build your own. I said how, sway.
I thought that was clever, right?
Very.
The wordplay is very clever.
And those are both things that he said, right?
Yeah, and those were his opinions that he got scrutinized
exactly.
for, right?
Wait, so Sway, I keep on forgetting, but he said build your own stuff?
I'm not sure
remember that part.
Oh, when he said you don't have the answers?
He was asking him, why don't you said that, you know, you've been marginalized by the this designers population and the fashion, and designers, yeah. and, you know, in the fashion world, why not just build your own, is what he was saying. Like, why not just kind of like sidestep all of that and do your own thing? And I think he was trying to, in that, he was trying to get Sway to understand, like, in order for me to, I guess, reach the level that I'm trying to reach and to have the influence that I'm trying to have as an African-American male in this space, it's not as easy as just like, oh, like, let's just go make FUBU. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I think that's what he was trying to say, but it just got lost in translation right. in a lot of
yeah,
what
I
they
think
were
he wants
day.
To be in the same par as like the Gucci's and the Balenciaga.
Yeah, it's, I mean, yeah, it's kind of like boiling down to like the Grammy argument or like the argument when it comes to the Oscars, when it comes to African-American representation. I think that that's what Kanye was trying to say. Like, mm-hmm. what does African-American representation look like at this level of fashion? You know, not just, oh, I got some money so I can start my own clothing line, or I got some right. money so I make my own t-shirts and black folks buy them. It's no, I want to exist in the same spaces as the Versace's
the Nordstrom's
and, you
and
know,
all, those
and all the high-end facts. You know, designers in fashion, and to have the same level of respect and the same level of access as they do is right. what he was trying to say.
Right, and that's big. Right.
So what do you think when he was trying to say like that slavery?
That slavery line.
So no, I heard a lot of art. So I heard a lot of people, maybe like two or three, honestly, but some people were trying to compare that line to the Black Panther last line, where he was like, you know what I'm saying, like, you had slaves who were like, nah, like, either I'm gonna fight or I'm gonna die. Yeah. And it was like, but you had those other slaves who were like, all right, well, we just gonna thug it out. So people were trying to compare it to that by saying that, oh yeah, like in Black Panther, like he said, like, I'd rather die than live in bondage.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a deep line. And I think, just to piggyback off of that, my understanding of the Kanye, that whole situation and what he said about slavery, is the fact that when you looked at slavery, the slave master broke down the slaves mentally.
Mentally.
It wasn't. Mm-hmm. So they took the strongest slave and basically dehumanized him in front of all the other slaves. And so they knew, if you try to run away, this is your consequence. If you try to fight back, this is your consequence, right? And it was gruesome, right? So mentally, they broke down the slaves. And I think the point that he was trying to make was that the slaves outnumbered the master. And if they uprised, if all the slaves decided to uprise, who was going to stop them? They had the numbers, even though they didn't have the weapons or whatever, right? I think that was the point that he was trying to make.
Well, also, I think what he was trying to make was, if you think about it, he was saying that slavery was a choice, right? And I think right now, some of us are slaves mentally still. And what I mean by that is, like, something as simple as this, right? Say you got somebody that works, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, works, has a job or whatever that they really don't like. Like, right. they're constantly taking, like, beatings every single day, like, at this job.
Mm-hmm.
But mentally, they're like, I can't leave here. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same thing that's kind of like where slavery comes in the hand, where it's like, if you leave, then suffer the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know what's on that other side until you fight.
Exactly.
So I think that's also what he was trying to say, is like, right. we're black people, we're so always like, we have a handicap on ourselves, like, oh, it's because I'm black, or, you know, sometimes it might be, but we always put that handicap on ourselves mentally. It's like, I can only go so far, you know, because mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie with you, bro. Like, there's moments in my head where I'm like, ah, man, like, I don't think I could ever go like that deep or that
right.
level. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's just because I haven't seen people my skin color do it, or
mm-hmm.
like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but I have to, it's like a hole that you have on your mind where it's like kind of like slavery, you know?
Right. Yeah. And just to piggyback off of that again, I think that your point is very valid. And I think that a lot of it is, as a black man, I have seen things in different countries. There is this subconscious part of your brain, right? And I think a lot of what you do as like a defense mechanism, or a you know, like, just to kind of hide away from these, like, you know, your mind would tell you, oh, you can't do this, but your mind's only telling you that because of things you've experienced in yep. that society before.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? I think a lot of us in today's society our kids, black kids, are not mm-hmm. taught many things about financial freedom. Nah. And I am loving how this music industry now is pushing for that.
Oh, facts, bro.
Right? Whether it was like through Jay-Z's album or Nipsey or whatever, right? Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. a lot of them are pushing towards black empowerment.
Oh, yeah, bro. But see, that's
even
the
young kids, even the kids that are putting out trash music. I mean, right. at the end of the day, they're still independent. They're entrepreneurs.
And that mm-hmm. was what the Cole, was that the, that was the Cole interview, and, interview?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where
yeah.
he was like, yo, bro, like, I had to, like, go to, like, record labels and do this and that. And, like, these kids out here, they could represent themselves.
Yeah.
And, bro, like, on everything I love, like, over the last, I want to say, 2 weeks, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I've had moments, and I'm slowly but surely realizing, like, I've been doing this freelance stuff for about a year now. You know what I'm saying? But, like, over the last, like, 2 weeks, bro, like, I've gotten, like, some big, big projects.
Right.
You feel me? But it's been, like, there's been moments in my head where, like, oh, eventually I'm going to have to go back to working.
Like a 9-to-5.
9-to-5.
Right.
Eventually I will. But then every time, like, it keeps on coming out, and I'm like, okay, like, things are shaping. And it's, like, now I see what, like, the power of freedom and all that, what Jay-Z and what Nip and all them were talking about. Like, it, like, hit me the other day. I was driving home, and I was like, bro, it's 12 o'clock right now, and I'm just driving home.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, on my time, you know, and about to get a, you know, like, it's just, like, what they're talking about is right, bro, but it just takes so much longer, bro.
And the thing is, for us, like, a lot of us have to learn these things.
Yep.
With trial and error. Like, when I went to college, man, I had nobody showed me how to do it. I figured it out the hard way.
Yeah.
When, you know what I'm saying, when I moved here, adulting, I figured that out the hard way. Yeah. Credit, I figured out the hard way. Yep. All of these things, like loans, credit, what, buying your first car, I'm sure I'm going to go through when I buy my first home. Like, all of these things we're learning the hard way. From experiencing it firsthand, right?
But see, the thing is, bro, like, that's the best part about it, because, like,
I disagree, man. That's like having to learn. That's like having to discover algebra all over again.
Man,
you know what I'm saying?
Like,
we keep on having to, like, we should be able to say, hey, you know what? Somebody's going to teach you this so that you don't have to fall and experience
all these faults.
You know what I mean? You'll be like, oh, let me look at this person, and that's what other cultures do. You know what I mean? And we have such a fragmented culture in the fact that we can't say, okay, well, yo, your brother, you from Africa, you from the diaspora. Okay, let me show you. You're about to get your first car loan. Go to this black man, and he'll show you how to do this correctly. Or you're looking for your first house. Okay, here's this realtor. Unfortunately, that's because of the mental slavery. Taking it back to Kanye,
mm-hmm.
there has been Willie Lynch letters, whether they're true or not. That method of subjugating people for generations and generations is extremely impactful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, to piggyback off what you're saying, like, you think about, you know, just think about the idea of a nation conquering another nation, right? Like, what happens when a nation conquers another nation? They strip them of their resources. They strip them of their dignity. They strip them of, you know, like,
psychological. Whatever they identify with, they strip them of that totally.
Yeah. And make them assimilate into their culture and, you know, serve their gods, you know, worship in their ways, like all these things that, like, take away their entire identity. And that's like psychological warfare. So just imagine being taken from your homeland, you know, placed in a foreign place, being subject to everything that foreign place is and what it means and how it functions, and then trying to say, oh, we should revolt. You know, like the psychological warfare that's taking place, the lack of resources, the lack of infrastructure, the lack of understanding of that culture to understand it well enough to even revolt is crazy. You know what I'm saying? So like to think that slavery is a choice is interesting to say to me. Like how do you conclude that?
But you gotta also think about this, bro. Like, say if we did have, I think that the key for all of us, bro, is to having blacks in higher power. Because I definitely think that in every single position that we're in right now, if there was a black that was in any type of career field that we're trying to do, say a run with teaching, if there was like higher up blacks, like at a certain organization who will look out, Oba, with you with producing, you know what I'm saying? You got that one group that you're a part of, but those are black leaders who are trying to look out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
we're trying to build, and we have to build from scratch.
And that's the thing, bro, that I'm realizing now is like, we need more blacks in higher up who have the authority to make decisions. And that's the hardest thing, bro. Is like, for instance, I'll give you an example. Like the work, my career field, like advertising, directing, yeah, whatever. Like, there's not too many blacks who have the position to bring other blacks on. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So imagine if, like, we had more up in those divisions. It's like, oh, yeah, let me help this young brother out. Like, right. Oh, yeah, it's good.
But again, even though you're there, is that mentality still of the slave master? You know what I'm saying? Shouts out to Run the Jewels because they say kill your masters. If that person that had to excel and go to the top, are they selling out? You know what I'm saying?
Bruh,
are they still part of the community? Are they looking to bring somebody else behind them and not worry about them trying to take their spot? Because there can only be a couple of us up there.
Bruh, that's the sick thing
it's
about
deep,
it, bro.
Man.
That's the sick thing about it. It's literally like it's in competition with ourselves. That's why none of us want to really help each other out, is because we're in competition with ourselves, especially in these environments that we aspire to succeed in.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's Arone, just
I'm sorry to cut you off, bro.
Yeah, go ahead.
Arone, I was wondering, do you feel that being from Africa?
Yeah,
Eritrea. You're first generation American.
Yeah.
So you're not even American, you're Americanized. That's what I try to call myself. Do you find that divide? Not only, you know, from the outside, everyone's looking at you like, I don't care where you're from, you're black. You know what I mean? You have the skin tone, you're black. But within the community, do you find that you're almost put into this category or that category because of the way you look and the way you sound?
Definitely. So let me tell you a little bit about me. I was born and raised in Yemen, in the Middle East. Parents are Eritrean. I grew up with Eritrean values at home. Grew up with Arabian values outside of my house. In Yemen, right, I didn't fit in. I was always the odd kid out because I was darker than everybody and I was the African kid. When I'm around Eritreans, I'm not Eritrean to them. I'm Arabian, right? And then we came to the U.S., and they definitely remind me I was black here, right? But the idea always was, one of the biggest lessons my dad taught me was, take the good from people and leave the bad to them, right? So when we talk about all of these things, some of the things I started noticing, I have always been like a guy who volunteered and loved to play with kids and, you know what I'm saying? I love greeting adults, and like I've always been open to many different cultures, people, all of that. One of my biggest challenges was, whether I was in high school, in college, even now, it's the lens that people see me with, right? Nobody comes up to you first and says, hey, you know, what's your story? Or what is, you know what I'm saying? Like, how do you want me to represent you or whatever? The first thing they do is throw an assumption at you.
They slap a title or
put
you in a box.
Label on you, right? And they put you in this box. And it's like, if I could get $1 for every time somebody goes, oh, you a teacher? Or like, oh, what sport did you play in college?
Bruh.
Or right? And it's like, man, you know I am capable. And when they find out I speak three languages, that one always blows my mind because it's hilarious. Like,
bruh,
people always
you speak
like, what?
Three languages?
Exactly that, right? And I'm like, man, like, I know people who speak seven. Like, three is, you know, but just to take it back to that whole conversation, being a black man in America, you have to constantly be apologetic for who you are. That's number one.
Always. You're always like, sorry, I'm sorry. I'm like, I feel like you're supposed to be. Like sit down. No joking, but sit down, be humble.
Be grateful for what you have. Da, da, da. Like you ain't, you know, like work your heart out to get there. And then, so like being apologetic, that's the first thing. And the second thing is you have to make yourself so safe so that other people feel comfortable enough to be around you. That's what I had to do all through college.
Oh, bro. Yeah. You can't wear a part. Like I got to, every time I get out the car, I got to take my do-rag off.
Yeah. Cause it's like the way people see you. I can articulate myself really well in any environment. Let me put a durag on and see how people receive that, right? And so, like, I mean, and I always thought about this idea of your black hair. My parents used to always fear me growing an afro growing up because of the way jobs, right, employers treat you, because of the way your teachers treat you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the challenge was always like, man, why can't I just be comfortable with who I am, right? My facial hair, my hair.
Can't even wear a hood.
Right. And it's
like, it might be cold.
They put all of these parameters to where anything that has to do with black culture it's kind of looked down upon, right? And normally the way we communicate within our cultures is we're loud, we, you know what I'm saying, we like, hey, yo, what up? You know, like we love including people. And that seems aggressive to other cultures, even though it really is. We talk with our hands. That's just what we do. It's our thing, right? Dr. Joy, do you remember some of the mm-hmm. stuff she talked about?
Yeah, yeah.
She taught at PSU. She's a great lady who talks a lot about issues in education and how kids get treated in schools, right? So I'm going to give y'all some of the stuff that we talk about within our organization when it comes to working with youth. African-American kids are viewed as grown-ups, as adults, at the age of 10. 10 years old.
10?
10. As a child.
I see that in the law. I see that whenever those children are being, you know what I mean, tried as adults and things like that because they're dangerous.
Exactly. So wow. When I hear a kid got shot because he was playing with a toy gun,
wow.
To me, that's the biggest proof, whether it's a Trayvon Martin or whoever, right? These kids got gunned down, and they're kids. Even when you're 15, 16 years old, your frontal cortex is not even developed until you're what, 25, 26?
Yep.
But these kids are being treated like full adults. Hispanic, Latino, 13. Asian, 15. White, I think it was like 17. You see, so, and this is research. This
right,
is
right. This is empirical evidence. This yeah. is, these are based on history.
Right. And another thing that stuck out to me was trauma is passed down via DNA. So when you look mm-hmm. at slavery, we are still living in the ripple effects of it today.
You and know what the biggest proof of that is?
Mm-hmm.
How many Africans do you know that own dogs? That own dogs in the house.
They've,
how many Black Americans do you know? They're just getting over that.
They're
hump
getting
of,
that right because of know? All the yeah, like
because of all the trauma that's involved with that.
Exactly. Wow. And so to
man,
me,
man, bro, I never thought about it like that because I got plenty of homies who are afraid of dogs,
terrified, and because their grandparents their taught them to be.
Exactly, and it's that trauma passed down generation to generation, whether it's through stories or written, and a lot of it has been erased. Right. And the thing is, we talked about Deshaun, we talked about the idea of one nation taking over another or people taking over another group of people is you erase their history and you write your own
yep.
narrative and you teach them that. So they forget all the bad that you've done to them.
Mm.
And that's the era we live in.
Absolutely. And that generation gap, you know, before it may take two or three generations to get a people to be subjugated properly. Now it feels like. It's one less than a generation. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
To get people to turn and say, oh well, you know, I'm not Black. I'm biracial.
Right.
I don't represent this. I represent that. Or I'm not this. And it's man, that is such a. And you deal with youth. Please, I'm not familiar with the organization that you're a part of. If you don't mind telling us and the listeners.
Yeah. I'm a teacher. I teach at Rosemary Anderson High School. And Deshaun is also.
Shouts out to you, man. Representation, yeah. Because that's one thing that's really really difficult to find. Think about that 7-year-old little boy that looks like you.
Right.
That's thinking of, you know, career choices. And he's like, oh, wow, I can do that because I can see someone that represents that in my life.
Exactly. Yeah, that's and huge. That's the hard part, man. Like a lot of these kids can't even describe themselves in 10 positive words, let alone. You see what I'm saying? And that's something we did to them, society in general. Right.
Wow.
But let me switch lanes real quick. I know I invited Brother Deshaun here today. Because I want to talk about your music a little bit, too. So let's talk about your new project. Since last time you was here, what are some of the things that you have worked on?
Okay, so, dang, when was the last time I was here?
Man, it must have been like 4-something months ago. Maybe March or February.
Yeah,
was
been
it
a
February
minute.
Or March? It's been a hot minute.
It was. Yeah, I think it was earlier in the year, like first mm-hmm. quarter of the year.
Yeah.
Since then, so I don't know if I talked about this last time, but during winter break, so you know, being a teacher, you get winter break off, and so I didn't want to waste that time.
Right.
So I took that 2 weeks and just like locked in the studio.
Yeah,
and,
I remember began that.
To, yeah, so I did
I
talk about that last
to make
time.
It a couple of times. No, we didn't talk about it in the show, but
oh, okay.
I was supposed
so
to come in and kick it with you.
Yeah,
a couple of times.
Yeah, Aaron be dodging
be
me, bro.
I swear, I'll be
shots.
Coaching. Kids hit me up like, Coach, I want to work out, so uh-huh. I gotta, you know.
I'd be like, bro, like slide. I'd be like, slide to the studio, bro. Like, oh, for sure, I'm gonna slide, and then
this song come up, man. Man,
yeah,
I'm gonna be there. I promise.
I'm right, y'all heard it.
So,
y'all heard it.
I'm on air now. Heard it on the air.
Accountable
on the air. And so, yeah, during winter break, I kind of just locked myself in the studio for 2 weeks and just said, you know what, I'm gonna focus on trying to produce, write, and record an EP like in that 2 weeks. Or no, produce and write and record it later.
Right.
And so what I did was I ended up writing and producing like 6 or 7 songs. And it ended up not turning into an EP. So some of those ideas ended up being used for other stuff. And then February, I began to do this kind of like monthly music series called Direct Deposits. Uh-huh. And so the 1st and the 15th, I was just releasing songs on SoundCloud that I wrote during that time.
That's dope.
And then like in the midst of that, got a chance to put on my executive producer hat to work with an artist named Nahia Shane from here. And so just kind of like sitting in on the project, being able to provide creative oversight, some production, songwriting, and just kind of like working with him and walking alongside of him through the process of creating a full length album. And that came out at the end of March. It's called They Told Me. So
that's kind of what I've been working on. Congratulations, man. That's huge.
That's deep.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. That's definitely a lyrical resume builder right there, man.
Yeah, man.
Wow. Is there a those of us that might be unfamiliar with your music, is there a genre that you stick in, or is there like you know what I mean? Like, we don't want to put you in like, okay, Quali and, you know, Consciousness or ASAP Rocky and fashion, but do you have like a common denominator in your music?
Rap, hip hop, that's like my base, my foundation, but I kind of dibble and dabble in a little bit of everything. I'm really, really eclectic when it comes to music. So, writing for, you know, more than just hip hop. I primarily do Christian hip hop. And then beyond that, just hip hop, R&B, just different things like that. As long as it fits my worldview, as long as it fits my values, then I'm good with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, I already told you, we're going to have you freestyle a little before us today.
Man.
You know, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Hold on, bro.
This ain't Sway,
hey,
but you
man.
Know.
Hey, what did Vince Staples say? He said in the interview, bro, I'm out here trying to sell a, he's like, he was overseas and somebody asked him to freestyle. And he was like, man, that's like y'all having me on the auction block, man. He was like, man, I'm over here trying to sell a 10 song track. He was like, then you're going to have the nerve to ask me to freestyle. He's like, man, this ain't the auction block. He's like, calm down.
No, that's not my intention.
He was saying how he'd be on the radio and they'd be like, freestyle for us. Mm-hmm. Like, man, if you don't.
But see, here's the thing. I already told him. Let me explain to people, because now I feel like I got him to explain.
Look at Tevin over here shaking up, stirring up trouble.
He's stirring
over
up here. The pot right now.
Keeping it real.
So, about Delphine, our usual producer, is out of town. Shout out to Delphine. She's in Paris somewhere right now.
Yeah, shouts out. Marseille. She's in Marseille.
Okay. She's kicking it out there. And she shot me your number, Oba, but I think my text, I couldn't find the number. Like, I was looking for it because I wanted to send you some of his songs. But due to the time constraints, I couldn't find them. And so what ended up happening was I was like, yo, I can't play none of your songs because I have no way of getting it to Oba, but I'm going to need you to do something for the people to hear it.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I believe in his talent, man. I've heard some of his bars, and when I tell you he's nice, legit, you're going to hear it for yourself today.
So in other words, Aaron is putting me on the auction block.
I can't win today. Freestyle
for us.
Translation.
I'm going to take this L right now.
I'm kidding. I agreed to this beforehand.
He agreed. We made a deal.
Hey, if you don't freestyle for us, it's your back.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Lord.
Is there a beat that you would like? Do you want an acapella? Let us know how we can make this as comfortable for you as possible.
I'll go acapella. That's fine.
Word. Let's turn it down.
Go ahead, it's all you.
Oh, you want me to go right now?
Yeah, hey.
All right. Let me see. I treat a beat like a therapy session. You see the beast, no comparative question. I speak the speech like I prepared to be questioned. Hand to sky, all truth, no lie. Bare knuckle for the prize, think how I fare with a weapon. I rock wilder, I see red with my methods. They get to asking how high. Think where error's excessive. With him shooting stars, cannonball, stealing shade like LiAngelo Ball. Brain get to sparking up the flame like Neanderthals. Framed, I be posted in my lane with a hammer claws, daring you to touch me like we standing off. Trust me, you don't want the animosity atop the league. Homer with verses, cover bases with these odysseys. This gotta be nothing like you've expected, nothing like you've ingested, no perk in how I said it. It's unleaded with lead as it disperses. In other words, I'm gassing with shells in every verse.
Hey.
Bars. Yo, shouts out to Rockwilder and Method and Red. Man, yo, that was one of my favorite albums. Blackout.
Hey,
that was one of my favorite albums right there, man. That's respect, yo. Where can we find you? Where can we find your music online?
I have a project out. It's available on all digital platforms. It's called, what is my project called? That's crazy. I just lost my train of thought. The project is called, ooh.
We can go back.
Yeah, we'll come back to that. Let me think about it. So, it's been out for a minute, so
what was the process? What was your process developing that project?
The process for developing the project. The project is called Fragile. I keep wanting to say Dear Past because Dear Past was like the leading track on the project, but it's called Fragile.
It's an EP
called Fragile. It's available on all digital
platforms.
Just
so you know, I'll see put the New York filter.
See how horrible I am at promotion?
Bro, you good? See, I got your back. See, that's why I made him freestyle. You see that?
Uh-huh.
You know what I did? I recorded your freestyle, right?
And then
the New York filter. Oh, black and white. We took it back.
The New York filter is hard,
it's
bro.
It's hard, bro.
It got that like cinematic little grain filter. Yeah. Looks like a little movie.
I'm hooking it up back here. I'm doing all the promotion. All you got to worry about is just that.
Album coming soon.
Lyrics.
Album coming
dropping
soon.
Dropping soon.
Album coming soon, blood.
That's dope, though, man. But let's talk about that real quick, man. What was your process? How did you, you know what I'm saying, end up with that product?
With for Fragile?
For Fragile.
Word. So Fragile was an EP that came out of a season of my life where I was kind of wrestling through interpersonal relationships. So like relationships with family members, relationships with people who I was going to church with, marriage relationship,
right.
Relationship with like best friends, different things like that. And kind of just realizing like all the places where I'm fragile as a human being when it comes to interpersonal relationships. And a lot of it was based on like childhood trauma, just different situations that I had experienced as a child and even as an adult. And so I kind of started writing a cappella, just like different little lines here, a verse there.
Right.
And then it all kind of came together and culminated into the project called Fragile. So it's 6 songs. It's just an EP. But yeah, that was the heart of it.
Man, I think you have, and this is not just because you're over here. I even say that to people, but I think you have this vision. You're like an alchemist in a way, right? because of the way you put rhymes together. You know, last time you was here, you freestyled. I still listen to that, to those bars.
That's crazy.
And the lyrics you use, man, it's very advanced. The words that you use, you know, so I've always been a fan of the lyrics.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I see Oba back there messing with that SoundCloud. You found some of his songs?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if this is.
Is that you right here?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's let it ride for a little bit. Man, that was dope, man. I was feeling
thank
that.
You. Thank you.
Yeah, so talk.
Yo, that production is excellent, man. Nah, I'm really, really digging that, Joe, for sure. Do you think you're a stronger lyricist or behind, you know what I mean, like away from the mic and kind of in the lab doing your alchemic concoctions?
I think, like, if I had to, I guess, think about, like, what am I strongest as, I think I would say probably lyricist, just songwriting in general.
Right.
And then, like, secondly would probably be creative oversight, and then third would be production. Nice. So, like, especially right now, like, in the season I'm in, creatively, I dang near hate making beats right now. I don't know why, but I'd rather pick up a pen and write than like turn on the laptop and load up FL Studio. So that's kind of where I'm at right now with it.
Can I brag about you a little bit? So yeah, this man walks, I was going to do it anyways. So, so this man walks into my class in the summer. We sitting there talking about ways to improve the community. He pulls out a laptop, connects it to the TV, opens up the software and makes a beat right there. And man, he explained every detail of that beat. And so like, you gotta think about so many things just to make a beat.
Yeah,
like they make it sound easy when they talk about, yeah, I just, you know, I threw something real, no, it's not that fast. Like he literally sat there, man, and he explained the hi-hats and the kicks and the snares and I'm surprised I still remember all those words, but it was like dope seeing that come to life, you know. So not even though you don't think big of it, man, I think that's huge. That. You don't remember that?
I remember it right now, but like it wasn't like a thought that was like floating around in my mind until just now. That's man, crazy.
But that's the thing, bro. Impact. Like I still got students talking about that now.
No, okay. I got to come back out there, man.
So you got to come back out there and make a beat, man. This time I might write a little something.
Hey,
I got bars. No, I don't. I got bars of soap at the house. That's it.
Bars of soap at the house.
Has writing always been easy for you and you just turned it into, you know what I mean? Like you just structured it well? Have you always put pen to pad, whether it's, you know what I mean, a journal or whether it's just writing whatever your day-to-day is?
Yeah, I think ever since I was younger, writing has always been kind of like a way for me to process or escape or, you know, just release. And so it started out just kind of jotting my thoughts, and then, you know, the thoughts begin to rhyme, and then from there kind of just picked up. So yeah, it's always been, writing has always been something that has been something that I've used as a way to communicate or to express myself or to like wrestle through whatever I'm going through in my mind or my heart.
All right.
Man, that's beautiful, man, for sure. Having that expression, having that creative outlet, I think is huge.
Right. And I think, Deshaun, I just kind of want to ask you a real quick question. Just kind of ask you a question right quick.
Okay.
When it comes, so every time I go to like an open mic night or whatever, uh-huh. like I feel like I get rejuvenated as an artist, right? And uh-huh. I go home and I sketch. I like drawing.
Yeah. That's Aaron is a dope artist.
That's like my hidden talent.
People
right?
don't know that. And the only reason I know that is because we went to St. Louis last year, and he was like sketching on a pad while he was taking notes. And I was like, "Bruh, like you just sketched that while you were taking."
Yeah, yeah, literally. That's how I like to do
that's
that.
That's
right?
how I found out.
And that's like my creative outlet mm-hmm. is the sketching piece. Sometimes I try painting, but I always get rejuvenated, and I always get like this such like a positive urge every time I go yeah. to a open mic night or like a live concert.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. Do you ever get that feel from, or what makes you feel that way? Like, what does that
so like
to you?
What sources kind of are sources I draw inspiration
yeah.
from?
Yeah.
I think I draw inspiration from good music from artists that I like really, really admire.
Right.
So like my favorite artist is Stevie Wonder. I think that, when it comes to songwriting and arrangement, like song arrangement, he's mm-hmm. like the best to do it. You know what I'm saying? Like you just like now you will go listen to a Stevie Wonder song and be like,
you still relate.
Okay. Like just watch how the song progresses,
right.
how he brings in certain instruments at certain places, how he uses repeat phrases or, you know, specific ways to describe things like when it comes to songwriting, Stevie Wonder is the man.
Yeah.
And so like, he's like my top guy. I'll throw on a definitive collection, you know, listen to that and get super inspired.
Right.
And then I really, really respect artists who are kind of like the total package in the sense of
right. They
sing, they might sing and rap, songwrite, produce, kind of like do everything. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like it's just something about that grind that that gets me inspired. Like, man, I got to go write a song right now. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I got to go,
right. You
know, make a beat right now. Like so-and-so, I just watched, you know, this YouTube clip of Homeboy, 10 minutes, you know, he arranged the beat and then like started jotting lines. And then by the end of the video, he has a whole song, you know, produced, written, rapped, and sung by him or her or whatever the case may be. So those are definitely things that I draw inspiration from. But I also draw inspiration from, and this is probably the most tangible one, is just other creatives. You know what I'm saying? Like being able to be in a creative space with other people who are creative, like that pushes me, that inspires me, that makes me want to be better, make me want to write more, makes me
right.
want to produce. And so like whenever I have a chance to like lock in with the team, you know, the cats that I do music with are just other creatives. Like, it's dope. So,
that's tight.
Yeah.
We're going to have to work on the project together, man. Whether
yeah.
it's, you know, just shedding light on more artists like you.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And even, like, I think you have such a dope platform because you could bring up the youth and,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of young cats who still don't know the ins and outs of the game.
Yeah.
I think that you have a lot to teach them.
For sure. For
you
sure.
know. I think we got... You know, we're kind of coming close to the end of today. So why don't we start with Tevin and what message, you know, that's my favorite part of the show. What message do you want to leave the listeners with today?
Man, I want to just say to the listeners, I think that you are a plant.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you're going to have moments high and low. And in the fall and the winter, you got to just be working on that field. And what I mean by that is just putting in work in your craft. And then by the time the summertime comes, things start lighting up, things start growing. You start seeing like actual like roses start to like pop up.
Right.
And I'm learning that now. It's like this whole year, man, like, 2018 is finally, especially the summertime is coming around, things are finally like blossoming,
right?
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
So treat your life like a flower. Like, you know, you gotta give it sunlight, you gotta feed it. There's gonna be moments where it's just not popping up, but sooner or later those roots are gonna get strong and eventually it's just beauty.
That's dope, man. I appreciate that message. Yeah. How can people find you in your platforms?
You can find me on my website, Tevin, T-E-V-I-N, J, Tavares.com, T-A-V-A-R-E-S.
Okay. Thank you. Oba.
Yo.
What's up, my brother?
Thank you so much for having me on here, for sure.
Hey, man. Thank you so much.
I wanted to be the engineer, but I'm definitely looking forward to listening to the rest of Fragile, first and foremost.
Definitely.
Yo, thank you for having that. But the message I want to leave is, yo, love recklessly, man. Mm. I think, you know what I mean? That is one thing that's a challenge for many of us that are still, you know what I mean, looking for our forever person out here, especially in Portland in 2018. That is no easy feat for brothers of the melanated diaspora.
Right.
And just love recklessly, man. Just try. And if it doesn't work out, but just try.
Keep going.
Yeah, keep going.
Love is endless, right?
Exactly right. And to not love, or to not be in love, or to not be working towards love is... What are you doing? You know what I mean?
Away, it's just life
exactly
itself.
Right. You're not living effectively.
Love is food for the soul, man. Absolutely. Definitely. Man. And how could people find you?
Oh, thank you for asking. You can find me on FBO Radio, second and fourth Thursdays here on KBOO. Thank you so much. On Instagram, you can find me at Obabalu, O-B-A-B-A-L-U, and on Twitter, FBO, just like the radio show, E-F-F-A-B-L.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you, my brother. Yeah,
thank you, brother.
And now the man of the hour.
The message that I want to leave the listeners with, like what kind of encouragement, I would just say that self-reflection and self-evaluation,
yes,
and self-confrontation are very, very healthy tools of personal growth. I think one of the things that, you know, stifles our personal growth a lot is that we don't take ownership for where we can do better, or we're just not honest with ourselves. And so, you know, take some time for you to really evaluate you, to reflect on you, to know who you are, you know, at any given moment, to know where you can grow, you know, where you're, you know, where are your strengths and your weaknesses? How mm-hmm. can you, you know, be the best version of you that you can be? How can you, you know, contribute and impart to others? So
definitely
just take the time to really do some self-evaluation and reflection and, you know,
that's perspective that right there, man. And how could people find you?
Right now you can find me on, I have a really love-hate relationship with social media, by the way. Yeah. But right now you can find me on Instagram at Lamott Speaks. So LamottSpeaks. And then the project Fragile is available on all digital platforms, so feel free to look into that as well.
Okay. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate you all coming out and supporting me today in this show. Shout out to Nick Deasy, my partner. He's not
Nick
here
Deasy,
today.
What up, my G?
I wish your mom a quick recovery.
Prayers.
And shout prayers out to my brother, Simon Andu. He started his own YouTube channel. It's called Alternative Consciousness. And in that channel, you can find an interview of me. I talk a lot about the work I do with youth. I talk about my experience in Portland. I talk about, you know, some of the things that I'm learning as well, within my journey. Besides that, my message to people today is practice listening, practice loving more, be kind to each other, stay humble, and, you know, reach for the sky. Don't be afraid to shoot your shot. And, you know, just continue trying, man. You're worth it. You're definitely worth every try out there. It's been an honor. It's been a privilege.
Thank you.
See you, Portland. This has been Keeping It Real.
Deuces.
Said it at the same time. I was